in this afternoon session, you know, the session after lunch. I think it's a good session. There's a lot that maybe we may not hear, you know, it's, in the, it's after lunch. Our intention was really not to keep you for long here, you know. Now, we're looking at your presentation. It doesn't look like it's a very short presentation, but I hope that you will really focus on those key matters that you will at least try to deal with. You have been here since this morning. I'm sure you'd like to leave. But the important thing is that you are a very important department that deals with the lives of the people. Just to ensure that there's water. Everyone receives water. We have seen some of the adjustments that have been made. We hope that at least you will clarify to us how are they going to achieve the objectives of government. Well, on that note, I would really like to allow you to present. We have also received the apology from the teacher. I understand that the CFO is leading the delegation. You are in your hands, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. I'm Onesmus Rayaya, and I'm accompanied by Trevor Balzer, one of the top management members. After receiving your invitation to come and present to you, of course, it's against the background that we have already been engaged with the National Treasury for the 2010 MTF process, and therefore I will highlight what our presentations were, although those have not been allocated, and then what the additional funding we have for the current financial year, given also the shifts that we have already been faced with following the reorganization of the government. So we have adjusted budget estimates, which were adjusted due to unforeseen and unavoidable expenditure. I will also comment on our contribution to the government priorities, and also highlight our attempts in order to continue focusing on those priorities, our attempts to source more funding from the Exchequer for the next 2010 MTF process. So that's what I'll take you through. General the comments on the medium-term budget policy statement, our MTF allocations very briefly, and of course what is earmarked there, what's not earmarked, because what's...
Can I just ask someone who is having his phone on next to the mic just to remove it, put it away from the mic, please.
Okay.
It's disturbing. Please continue.
Okay. Thank you. Now, therefore, the next slide, please. Now, if you read the budget, the medium-term budget policy statement, the priorities of government are in more or less five or four areas where we feel we can contribute, and that's the area of job creation. When it comes to the area of job creation, we contribute to that particular goal through our expanded public works program. We have working for water and working for fire programs. That's where we contribute our, and then the construction, that's where we contribute the job creation. Of course, internally, we cannot talk of creating jobs outside without looking at our internal positions, and therefore, any vacancies that are evident in our structures, we have embarked on the aggressive campaign of ensuring that we fill them. The other one, obviously, is the appointment of SMEs to create jobs and trigger economic growth wherever they operate, and therefore we sell some of our goods and services from the SMEs as part of that spirit of supporting job creation. On the, of course, if you look at also another priority of government is our the focus on rural development. Of course, the targeted procurement to support economic development. We focus on HDS, most of whom that are in rural areas. And also, during the adjusted budget estimate, we have benefited from an additional amount for the increased allocation for working for water program. Besides that, we also do the investment in the infrastructure, which would encourage, obviously, that more water is available, though it may not necessarily be the case as of now, but that's where we contribute as we do our work. And when we try to give the new, to for the 2010 MTF bids, we focus on that particular element. Fighting crime, just like another public service department, we promise that we will be undertaking firm action on findings that emanate from investigation arising from cases reported on a hotline. And of course, we have targeted internal control, internal audit on the controls around supply chain in order to address any risks that are, that lead to corruption in this particular area. And obviously, a regular payroll audit to prevent and identify the ghost employees, as the case may be. We have repeatedly, Chair, tried to highlight to you, and I think a number of departments do that here before you, the issue around skills development. Skills development right now, our contribution in that area is through our learning academy, where, like in the adjusted budget estimate, we have 5 million for the bursaries for young engineers, and besides that, we use interns. Like in finance, as I speak here, we have 24 interns that we have hired that we are exposing to the world of work, but with the view of also absorbing them as the case, as the positions fall vacant. Now, our role, as you pointed in opening remarks, Chair, when it comes to water, of course, water goes hand in hand in preventative health, and therefore, like when there was cholera in the Limpopo and Mpumalanga region, we had to spend money last year or in expenditure to purchase what you call packaged plants in the fight of cholera outbreak. That's a contribution, and if you look at just the budget estimate, you will see that figure. Rehabilitation and reticulation treatment works is an area also where we contribute, and this one reminds me of Inyaka Dam and Nandoni projects, where we're ensuring that water reticulation occurs well. Implementation of water conservation and demand management. We can defer, Chair, by the way, some of the building of the dams if the conservation is done well. And to this end, obviously, you'll find that in our adjusted budget estimate, we have 63 million that has been clearly been earmarked to enhance water conservation and demand practices in selected municipalities. Besides that, obviously, with the drought that has been there, water quality gets compromised. And if you look at adjusted budget estimate, we have been allocated 53.7 amount, which is highlighted later on. It's not highlighted on this slide, but you'll see it later on, 53.7 for certain drought-stricken areas. Next. Now, because of the changes that have taken place, Chair, we have had to reorganize our programs. Previously, we used to have four programs. That's Program 1, Administration, Program 2, Water Resource Management, Program 3 was Water Services, and Program 4 was Forestry. With Forestry having moved out, as it appears in this adjusted budget estimate, the new budget structure is reflected here. We still have a Program 1. But we have now a program known as Water Management. We have a program known as National Water Resource Infrastructure Program. Regional Management, that's where we coordinate our activities in the region. And then Water Sector Regulations. So we have five programs. From next year, you'll see five programs with those particular indicative allocation. Now, what you see in this slide, Chair, is the indicative allocation for the next MTF before we made any bid or any funding option for us. What we have before us, yeah, that's an indicative figure, factoring in a 5% inflation factor for those particular program that we will be dealing with in the coming financial year. It has been recommended also during our 2010 MTEC process, the one recommendation that we re-examine the way we do business and see whether we can create what you call efficiency savings, where we can do things differently in order to enhance the, to how to do more with the same budget that we have been allocated or do even less. So we have identified those efficiency savings that you, that are before you on slide number 9, where you see in 2010-2011 is 64 million, and 2011-2012 114, and 2012-2013 152. This is more to do with trying to look at, let's say, the use of POSPs, if we replace them with full-time staff, what would it mean? Revisiting some of the 3G cards that we have and other IT services to see if we cannot curtail some of the expenditure so that we can do more with either the same budget or with a reduced budget. The budget allocation, therefore, for the 2010-2011 going through to 2012-2013, which is the 2010 MTEC process, the indicative figures before any allocations are given to us, we are saying 7.6 billion in the 2010, going up to 9.1 in the 2012-2013 for those particular programs indicated on that particular slide. The earmarked funding, one of the earmarked funding, by the way, one of them is the Mining Academy. The funds that we are given to develop capacity, especially specialized engineering skills in the building environment, are earmarked, and therefore, over the MTF process, we expect that we will spend the 20 million for the development of young engineers and ensuring that we develop capacity that is needed by the department. Facilities management, P&E rental, that 156 million growing to 179. Is money we pay to municipalities for the services we enjoy from them, but also the rental for the buildings we occupy wherever we are. Then there's additional capacity in finance and HR, which obviously that, those are the areas where our funds have been earmarked specifically, and we cannot shift to them without necessarily consulting National Treasury. When it comes to expanded works program, we have two major initiatives. Apart from the construction of the infrastructure, we are working for water, working for fire. Those are key expanded works programs where we try to use less intensive methods in order to deliver in those areas. So you can see also we have allocated the budget on those figures over the next MTF. Regional Bank, which is also is a program that we have been managing. We have that particular amount of almost 840 million in the coming financial year, growing to 1.5 billion in the outer year of the MTF process. Compliance, we have now established a unit for compliance, and we need to start resourcing it, and therefore the earmarked funding for that is the one you will see there of 5 million. Of course, the water sources operating subsidy is a better allocation that has to do with the transfer of certain assets to the municipalities, a transfer including the betterment of those assets as we go into 2012-2013. When we conclude finally that process, but we need to do the betterment of those particular assets. Now, the MTF allocation, therefore, excluding, if you look now, if you compare this slide with the one I said, as the one I alluded to earlier, I have indicated in next financial year we have a total budget allocation before any other funding options are considered of 7.6. Out of that, 4.8 is an earmarked funding that we use for our other activities as shown on this particular slide here. So this is just to show you what portion of the MTF budget is earmarked and what portion is not earmarked. That's the purpose of this slide. So you should understand it in the context of an earlier slide so that you understand what the amount, because earmarked funding generally is specifically for that particular purpose, and we cannot shift it to another purpose without having to go through the National Treasury through some adjusted budget estimates. Now, request for additional funding for 2010 MTF. Original months before we were asked, sorry, the recession is a reality, gentlemen and ladies, go back to the drawing board. This is what we gave National Treasury. At that stage, that's what we gave National Treasury to say, we wanted money for conservation, demand management, rainwater harvesting, the Working for Water program, we needed additional, this one, additional funding over and above what I've already alluded to. And then the water licensing backlog, which we have in selected areas around the country. The funding for new deputy minister, you may acknowledge, with the history of the department, you may be aware that the department all along has done without a deputy minister. For the first time, we have a deputy minister, and therefore, this is the funding we have requested specifically to support the work of the deputy minister under the new government. So those are our indications when we went before we scaled down. This is the recurrent request. areas where we requested for funding, and I'm emphasizing this because you have requested, Chair, in your letter whether there is any additional funding requested for next financial year or not. Now, we are then asked to be realistic given the recessionary impact that has already been alluded to in the Minister of Finance speech, and therefore the next slide will show you what we scaled down to in order to try to see whether we are realistic and what we can implement. But even before then, there are also the capital bits, what we call capital options, funding options. We consider the Old Funds River, popularly known as the Dihoop Dam, Mui Mungeni, Komati Occumentation Project, Mokola and Crocodile River West Water Occumentation Project, the refurbishment of infrastructure, regional bulk, among others. Now, those were the original capital bills before we were asked to go back to the drawing board and re-examine in the context of our own funding arrangements. Mui Mungeni Transfer Scheme, Komati Water Augmentation Project, and Mokolo and Crocodile River West Augmentation Projects are projects that can be funded off the budget through the signing of agreements with the TCTA and the commercial off-takers. So the National Treasury was of the view that we don't need to be funding these from the Exchequer, that this can be funded outside the Exchequer by signing the off-take agreement with the commercial water users that draw water or that will draw water from this particular scheme. So the next scaling down, you'll notice that there will be no amounts on those particular bids later on. So after scaling down, we have asked in total for the current budget, $125 million. We don't have a confirmation yet. And $168 million in the following year and $198 million for the recurrent expenditure for all those purposes that we have highlighted on that slide number 15. I'm speaking on slide number 15. Those are for the current expenditure, including the deputy minister. The licensing of backlog, we felt we could then try to do a reprioritization exercise internally within the department and fund it. For the capital base, after scaling down, this was the picture I've already mentioned, that in the Mui Mungeni, Komati Water Augmentation, and Mokolo, we decided to do away with them because they can be funded off what we call off the budget, meaning that TCTA will enter into agreement with the off-takers, and those off-takers then can then be used, the money they pay for the water from the off-takers will then be used to service a net debt that would have been raised by the TCTA, which is the Trans-Caledonian Tunnel Authority, one of the entities of the department charged with the infrastructure implementation. Now, one point I may want to emphasize here, Chair, is the issue around refurbishment of the infrastructure. Refurbishment of the infrastructure for water, because this question you may find it even the water endowment that we are holding countrywide, this question is coming to the fore, and I think it's important that we highlight it. Infrastructure, I think, water affairs went through, and as a country, we went through a certain phase. There was a lot of development, but the maintenance of this infrastructure was never a focus of the department for many years. As a result of that, I saw a number of members here ask questions from the Department of Public Works regarding the register for the infrastructure assets. We had to undertake in 2006 up to now, actually we are just concluding the exercise, to verify and value our bulk water infrastructure assets. And during that process, we picked up that there is a major backlog of infrastructure refurbishment and betterment. Now, the money we're asking here, therefore, is out of that particular exercise, and which could not have been quantified in the previous financial years because the department didn't have a register then for its own assets. We are talking about refurbishment of infrastructure of assets that supply raw bulk water. I'm not talking of water services like the ones in the municipalities. This is the Vaal River, those major dams. So the condition therefore warrants that some action need to be done from now going forward. If it's not done, you are sitting on another ESCOM. That one we are not going to hide about it. Next slide. Now, I've spoken about, Chair, about our desire to have high respect to the priorities of government and our desire to ensure that we get funding for those priorities. What I now present to you is the outcome of the second quarter, the first 6 months expenditure outcome, which is shown on your slide number 17, for the programs including forestry. That's what you have before you right now. We stand at 38, just under 39%, 39.9% of the expenditure, based on the original allocation. This is before any adjustments are done. What you have there is before the adjusted budget estimate and before the shift. Now, the under expenditure, what is perceived on a strategic basis to be under expenditure, is obviously attributable to a number of factors, of course. You will notice that water facilities program, which has a regional bulk, the expenditure there is a bit sluggish. But besides that, we expected that certain invoices will come in on time, and the delay in the submission of invoices contributes to that particular sluggish expenditure. Are we worried about that apparent expenditure? The answer is no. Why we are not worried about it is because, like on the conversation with employees, when you look at the economic classification, we have not been given, the salaries have gone up, but we have not been given a lot of money to cover the salary increase. We have only been given about 42 million for the water affairs component of the oil department. We have only been given 42. Then out of that 42, you need to factor in the occupational specific dispensation and factor in the general cost of living adjustment. So chances are that we are even afraid that we may overspend on the compensation of employees in this particular case. Even look at the compensation of employees, for example, in a straight line, because this is a straight line thing, like the compensation of employees and goods and services, they should generally be subjected to straight line basis. At 43% on a straight line basis, we should have been at 50. So the under expenditure of 7%, what I'm saying is that we are likely to, more than overcover it because of the recent salary increases in the department. For transfers and subsidies, how much we got? No, the increment generally varied for so far for an SMS members. It varied between 13% and 10%. Yeah, 13 and 10. This is for non-senior management cadres. These are level 1 to level 12. And obviously the exact picture, these salaries have not been paid, and when they are paid at the end of, I think they should have been at the end of this week. They should be paid by the end of this week, this particular backlog, because it's backdated from 1st of July. We can be sure this expenditure will be something of the past. It won't even be an issue to worry about, given the salary increases. Secondly, there's a likelihood that since the government is a caring employer, that the SMS members will also enjoy some increase come January. That likely is there. We can, in terms of our projection, ignore that because we are aware that the NC government is a caring employer. So, yeah. All right, the next slide. But I've amended this slide, so I don't need to deal with it. I've told you the apparent and expenditure is because of later submission of invoices, and generally the process we subject to the invoices to. Like the ones coming from construction side, there are certain reports that must accompany those invoices. So we don't pay them because they may deliver work, let's say, in the last month, but those invoices can only be paid maybe in the next 2 or 3 weeks after we have certified ourselves in the quality of work. Now, the projects in schools and clinics, which are kind of door allocations, obviously there are tender delays, but also other explanation we gave to you last time we met also contributed to that particular delay in the expenditure. Then, obviously, the unemployment of general salary increase, it was unexpected. We still hope that by end of October, of course, October is over, so in this week and the coming week, we should have already have gone over the issue around the general salary increase, except for occupational dispensation. There's certain work that need to be done, but it will end up again being backdated when it's paid. Departmental allocation, the position of funds you are going to oversee after you have done the transfer, and even as per your appropriation, the whole of forestry goes out, and thereafter the funds you will be in charge of will be 7.7 billion for the current financial year. The adjusted budget that we need to account for comes at 1st of March. Those will be the funds that we'll need to account for. If you look at it, there have been some environment shift and rollover, which I will now come to later on in subsequent slides, but we have done a bit of shift where there were mislocations and all that. We have done the shift of funds as part of the environment, but also we had applied for the rollover of funds from the previous financial year. From a economic classification point of view, we are saying just above 1 billion will be compensation of employees. And for goods and services, it will be 2.2 billion. And transfers and subsidies, which is seen to be the biggest junk there, 4 billion. And then capital for payment for capital assets will be 432. I want to speak something about that particular item, payments for capital assets. If you look at the second column on that slide, the payment for capital amount is shown as 1.1 billion. Then there is a minus figure of 672, leading us to a reduced balance of 632 as adjusted the budget estimate. The 672 is money we manage for regional bulk. And that money, although it is spent on capital items, the capital items there do not represent our assets, and therefore it needs to be accounted for as part of the transfers and subsidies. They are capital transfers that benefit another sphere of government. And that's a correction of the way the budget has been captured earlier in this particular case. It's not that we are shifting so that we hide anything. The money is still earmarked for that particular purpose. We also had a rollover, which we applied for before end of 30th of April, after having seen the outcome of the 2008 and 9. The amount we applied for is what is shown on this slide, number 22. The continuation of the Elfans River Water Resource Project was 232. We were given that amount. Implementation of regional bulk, those were delayed invoices that we could not pay as of the end of 31st March 2009. So we had the invoices and we had to ask for the rollover for the money to be used this year. Cholera outbreak, obviously we had incurred expenditure, although we hadn't paid for it, when there was cholera in Mpumalanga and Limpopo. If you remember, towards the end of last year, there was that particular problem. We asked for money as part of the fact that we didn't spend last year to be allowed, but you'll see the allocation is zero because that particular amount is covered as part of unforeseen and unavoidable expenditure because we didn't anticipate it in that year. So in total, the amount we have over and above what was voted for in May this year, as a result of the rollover, is 237 million. The reason for that, obviously, once more again, delaying the conclusion of memorandum of agreement with the 23 mining houses in the Elfans River, Limpopo, contributed to an expenditure of the Dihoop Dam. Of course, exceptional high rainfall, not last year, but in 2007, kind of created some form of sluggish startup on those projects. And obviously, the late submission of invoices in respect of regional bulk infrastructure assets. I think jump that one. The honorable members know what environment is. I don't need to educate them on that one. The environment I've spoken about is the environment of funds, which is shown here in summary chair. Well, there is a shift of money, 14 million, which is explained in subsequent slides, out of administration, and another 65 million out of water resource management. And all that money ends up either at forestry or at water services projects. Let's see what were the reasons for the environment as expressed by the accounting officer. The reason for 14 million being moved out is as a result of the fact that water services, it had to be go to water services due to the allocation of inflation adjustment that was initially allocated to administration when we compiled the budget. So we're just moving it out. Then under program 2, there is a minus 65 million which is being shifted out to water services. This is due to unfilled position as a result of newly created structure and the reallocation of certain funds to water use conservation and demand management in certain regions that benefit from those projects.
Sorry, let me just understand this one. You had budgeted this money. Now you, because you did not fill the vacancies, you're shifting the money elsewhere. Is that what you're saying, the 65 million on program 2?
No, those were newly created positions. They were newly, remember we had 14 million for inflation adjustment under program 1. Now, the money needed to be moved out because partly to cover the newly created administrative structures under water resource management. It was just a question of now ensuring that we find that we mark the expenditure where it will be spent. Besides that, part of that 65 million is the reallocation of money meant to enhance water use conservation and demand management in selected municipalities. Then we have funds which have been incorrectly been allocated under goods and services in this program for machinery. We would also to reallocate them appropriately. Now, for water services, therefore, You see, remember we're moving out the funds to go and fund out elsewhere. The funds are being moved from administration and from water resource management. The new credit positions that I'm talking about are positions that are now in water sources that need to be taken care of. Now, so under water sources, therefore, water sources ends up benefiting by a total of $77 million, and that's the environment so far we have done as we speak today, the environment we have done in this case. Next slide. The unforeseen amount we have applied for, and we have... Yes.
Can you go back to slide number 26?
Yeah.
So what you're saying is that those amounts, program 1, program 2, were shifted to program 3?
Yes, they were shifted to program 3.
Okay.
Manny, can you go to the slide summary, the summary slide, which shows minus and plus? I think that's where the clarity will be. This particular slide. We have slide number 25, which shows the amount is being transferred from administration, where we have brackets. That means the amount is being shifted out of those programs. But then when you don't have brackets, the 77 and the 2 million, those are the receiving programs. Those are the receiving programs in this case. Now, for the unavoidable and unforeseen expenditure, so far National Treasury has allocated to us a total of $167 million, and it's indicated in the adjusted appropriation bill. Obviously, these are expenditures we could not have foreseen. When we compare the budget for 2009 and 10, those ones were not part of our baseline information. Now, what did we request for? I think that's what you may need to know, Chair. We did not request for general salary increases, that's why you see it is zero, but we requested amounts for the deputy minister, but we have been given only $3 million. We requested 49 for the purchase of the package plans for the cholera, which I've alluded to earlier. We were given 40.7 million. We requested for additional funds for working for water, which is one of our extended public works program. We required 74, we managed to get 22. General salary adjustment, we didn't request for any money. When you come to drug relief through the provincial treasury, municipalities in Western Cape requested for some money and they ended up being allocated the 53,000. They were hit by drought. So that money is purely for a drought relief. So in total, what has been allocated as unforeseen and unavoidable expenditure is $167 million for this year. Now, before this adjustment and all that, this was a summary of the budget we had of $7.8 billion. A total of $3.17 billion was earmarked. So this one I don't need to dwell on it. It's for rental for buildings 138, working for water is also earmarked. Refurbishment of water schemes is also earmarked. All those items there were earmarked in the budget before the current adjusted budget estimates. So we have not tampered with a number of those. I think this is just a summary to show you what the total budget was of 7.8, and against that, $3.17 billion, it was earmarked funding. So the remaining balance is what was an earmarked for the year under review. Now, transport function is a reality in this chair, and under this reality, of course, we had anticipated that sanitation services will move to human settlement. That process will not be concluded this year. It may come in April 2010. This year it will not happen. The processes that were to be undertaken, they have not been concluded successfully. But forestry definitely is going out, and therefore it will be moved out as required and as indicated in the appropriation adjustment bill. So the National Treasury approval, of course, had to be obtained, and then, of course, the support from the Minister of Public Service for the transfer of function to another sphere of government or to another agency had also to be approved. Until such a things are done in consultative process, sanitation would then not be able to move as we had anticipated that during the adjusted budget estimate it will take place. So it won't take place and it's not part of the adjusted budget estimate. Now, in short, before the adjusted figures, these are figures around the 519 call it 520 were figures we agreed upon before the adjusted budget estimate to be transferred to the Ministry or Department of Agriculture and Fisheries and Forestry out of DWAF. But remember, some other adjustments have come through, so you will notice that you will pick up later on, in the adjusted budget estimate, you will see a figure higher than 519 against forestry. That figure includes the adjustment they have enjoyed after the initial allocation. But what comes out of the 7.8 billion is this amount. Before the adjustment, this is the figure that had been set aside for them to go with in that department. Next slide. Now, I've alluded to something about 23 mining houses that didn't sign agreements. Those 23 mining houses affect the use of 600 million that was meant for the oil funds water resource projects. Now, knowing very well that these mining houses hadn't signed as of April, May, we approached the National Treasury to do what you call a rescheduling of that particular capital expenditure. In the sense that the projects which are ready to go ahead, like Inyaka Dam, Nandoni Dam, should still go ahead without us having to roll over these funds again, when we know for sure that if those mining houses have not signed those agreements, we are not spending, and we will not be able to spend the entire 600 million. So National Treasury granted that permission to do what you call the scheduling those amounts, meaning that we use the 502 this year on other projects, but in the outer years, the funds that were meant for these other projects should then be shifted to all funds river projects when we are ready to implement it. That's what I mean by rescheduling. It's not a saving, it's a rescheduling the timing of the use of that 600 million. So out of the 600 million, 98 will be used on the all funds river project, but the 502 would then be used elsewhere as detailed in the next slide. The 502 will be used as follows. To further the following infrastructure, Nandoni, Nyaka Dam, and Shiluwe Regional Water Scheme. And then the recommendation to the water trading entity as a result of the project undertaken by the department towards the end of 2008 and 9. So this particular, that's how we are dealing with the funds earmarked for the Old Funds River project. And with that, I thank you, Chair.
I thought there was an addition.
Chair, if I could just clarify one point that CFO threw, if you wouldn't mind, when he mentioned about the transfer of functions, referring particularly to the forestry and the sanitation function, and saying sanitation won't move this year. It's the budget transfer that won't take place. The function will possibly still is scheduled to take place. So the budget will still sit on the department, and we'll have an agreement in place with human settlements to with regard to that expenditure. That's only because the determination wasn't completed before the adjustment estimates were signed off.
Thank you very much. I can see the members. It's in the afternoon now. Honourable members, over to you, Honourable Khadr Dom,
Chief,
Honourable Mashiko,
Chairperson,
Honourable Ngobo. Let's say Honourable Khadr Dom, Honourable Ngobo, and Honourable Mashiko.
Chairperson, I think it's a very good document prepared by the department. My question is, and to help me now, if I didn't find it here, in the beginning, the CFO deputy told us that water will be a very scarce item in the next years, may follow electricity. I think I agree with him on that. But now, where is the program for research, for water research? I just want to get clarity on that. And then, my another question is, that's about the floods we have normally in the Southern Cape. The droughts, now we have droughts, and I think at the end of February we will have floods. What are the department doing to address this issue? You know, I see that. But my point is, the one moment you have droughts and the other moment you have floods. That's my question. And that is for the last, from since 93, 94. That process is normal. Yeah. The trend. So what is the department doing to address this? Because I want to find it out, but I didn't get this answer in that. Thank you, Chair.
Chair, thank you very much. That was quite fast. We are worried that your document was quite long. Expanded program, expanded public EPW. Can you just tell us approximately how many jobs have you created in order to address the half a million jobs that are to be provided by the end of this year? You were talking about the vacancies. Can you tell us what your vacancy rate is as we speak now? And how much personnel are you anticipating to have in your department at the end of the day? Compensation for OSD has not been catered for. What's the reason? Do you have an idea why? And secondly, what scarce skills do you require as dire skills that you must have, like tomorrow, in the department? Thanks.
Thank you very much, Comrade. Comrade Temashiko.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm a little bit concerned about the rivers that run through the most disadvantaged people, that they need to be funded not directly from fiscals, because this Moi, Komati, and Mukolo, and Crocodile Rivers, those are rivers that really are in areas where we say there are poor people, and this need to be funded somehow. Can you tell us how, after being refused, after the bids were scaled down, was the motivation not well prepared? Was it not a poor motivation, or was that the three of them should not be accommodated in any way? And how do you think you'll be able to fund that? And when it comes to I wrote something about page 19, slide number 19, because it's three reasons for underspending. What actions did you take to make sure that the invoices are in time, the delays are being averted, because this underpayment affects your service delivery somehow? And the last one is on slide number 25. I would like to understand this shifting, because I do understand the shifting of funds, but this 2,006 that was shifted to forestry, do you still need to shift anything to forestry? I just needed to understand that one, because I understand the one that has been via to water services, but not the one, the two to forest. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Any question? Okay. Honorable Mabunda, Honorable Ramataka.
Chairperson, I'm not picking anything from the presentation. I just want to take out the general question to say, do you as a national department have a national program that maybe guides the local government programs on how to provide the mechanism in the water provision in terms of the national policy? Because sometimes you find out that there are some other dams, but the settlements nearby the dams, the dams that have water, do not get, do not have that access of clean water, but the water is nearby.
And more than that, you find out the program is taking long. I understand the national program cannot be interjected by any wishes and will by whoever. But however, I think the national program should be in the way of likely to check with the local programs in terms of the municipal IDP programs, how to provide water, because it's long that people are not crying water. There's no water up as we speak now. So I'm just generalizing this as the department have some other program that might able to access, I mean to accelerate the water provision of the rural people in particular. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Comrade Matlaka.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I just want to ask this question about I think the statement was made that if we don't take action, we're running into a serious problem in terms of water. I just want to understand that statement. Given the slides here in terms of the scale down in terms of project, I do see that some of the scale down also affected some of the project that probably were in attempt to address the water anticipated crisis. Now, if you understand that we are looking or staring in the barrel of a problem, how would you scale down the areas that may address that particular challenge? I'm just asking that question so that I understand. Are you satisfied that the scaling down, even if you look at over a three-year period, I see there is on the Moy River, the Nkekumzubu, this dam here. There's been lots of discussion about this project. Chair, I think there's been lots of discussion. At some point, you hear that it's on the agenda. Sometimes it's not on the agenda. Here, it's completely not on the agenda, completely in the next 3 years. I'm just wanting to ask the question. Are you satisfied that... Because tomorrow when you come up with this issue, we will say that you were the one that suggested the scale down, where you scaled this thing down yourself. You said this one must be cut, this one must be cut. We then believed you that there's no crisis. Why crisis now? So I just want to understand as management responsibility in terms of averting crisis like Eskom crisis. Because today when you speak, Eskom would say, you know what, we did say so, but we actually didn't say so in so many words. So here it's been told that if we don't do anything, if we don't take action, we will run into trouble. So that's really, for me, the heart of your presentation. Are you satisfied that what you just presented, we're not going to be in that trouble that you, in fact, characterized? That's really the for me a critical question. Then the last one is a small one. I, as a way of budgeting, I have a bit a concern about what is normally referred to as the ring fence budgeting. We would ring-fence this, and we ring-fence that, we ring-fence that, we ring-fence that, we ring-fence that, we ring-fence that. At the end of the day, you have basically almost a program that is already dictated. You have no room to do any other things. It's a budgeting issue that I always have an issue with, that as a principle that you go down that way. So I just want to understand this thing goes, and I look at the programs that earmarked all that budget that is earmarked. Why go down this way? Is it an issue about management? Is it a question about management ability to be able to prioritize project appropriately, and therefore it's determined centrally that in any case, you're not going to do a good job of it. So we will tell you how to do a good job of it. and then centrally, Treasury will be involved in making sure that this is what we're going to have to do. We can't do nothing about it. There must be a reason why this, because I think it's a big money that we're talking about here. Those are the two questions for me, Chair. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Thanks, colleagues. That's from my side, is the restructuring that has taken place. It has also taken place in terms of programming as well. Am I right? Because I'm looking at the estimate of national expenditure, the way it's structured, and the way your budget is structured, makes it so difficult for someone outside the department to understand exactly where does this amount goes. You don't understand. You understand tomorrow when you're gone. Why do you do it like this? I'm just looking at page 247, of the estimates of national expenditure. The way it's structured, the way you have presented it here, you said this is how the program that you're going to have next year. Very different from, it's different from this, Now it's difficult. Earlier, when the public works was here, we raised this question of rollovers, And I think that earlier this year, was it during your first quarterly presentation, the report, the rollover of the WOP, I'm not sure whether it's in the afternoon. I might be confused now. In other words, you're formalizing what you told us that time. That you were rolling over. In fact, that time, I think that you're rolling over now for the second time, actually. No, my mind is very clear now. Because the last year, including this one, it was 500 million, 500 and something. Now, the other one has been spent. You left with... the reason is the mines that you're giving us. What do you want to do? Let us be clear. Are you going to spend this money on this or not? So that, the time that we're living in don't allow us to have some monies that are going to be just rolled over if it's not clear if they are going to be actually utilized. Are you going to be able to utilize this money? Taking into account the discussions that you're having with the mines or what. It's very difficult to understand what's happening. I think that from my side, you see, is a question that I do have. So the additional requests that you have on 5 and 16 and so forth, so, it has requests that you're not you're expecting responses for them. Am I correct? Okay. I think this year, at least you're doing something. You're budgeting for maintenance. I think it's a good thing. But what we don't understand is the extent of this maintenance. To what extent is it going to how much is it going to cover in terms of what needs to be maintained, But the amount is looking fine. It has a trace value, but it's difficult to say it's okay because you don't know how much is required. Is it the whole amount? Is it the little... Just the last question is slide 21. Is how you structure your capital expenditure. You know, each department has got its own ways, you know. There is something that we, as a committee, would understand if you just call it simple infrastructure. Who would just understand it like that. But here, payments to capital and some of the amount is taken away. It's taken away. Is it infrastructure? What is this exactly, this allocation? What is it for? Because your department mostly seems to be covered by infrastructure. It's a kind of an infrastructure department. But there's some that you classify as infrastructure, others you classify as projects. Just the last comment is on the administration, you know. Your administration, I think, is next to a billion. Where the administration? 795, and I think maybe by 2012 it will be around 900 million. Why is it so high? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I will respond to some of the questions and the most difficult ones, Trevor will deal with them. For me, I'll go for the easy ones. So I'm sure he's preparing himself. So I'll allow him to prepare as I answer what I consider to be the easy ones. Obviously, the issue around the program for water research, Trevor will deal with it. Floods, he will deal with it. Those are the difficult ones. Expanded public works, he will also deal with it. The vacancy rate, Chair, with your permission, I think we may need to come back to you with a written response on that one because it changes every quarter. With some staff being shifted to the municipality and others remaining, it keeps on changing. I don't want to mislead you. With your permission, I think that one I would rather we leave it. We don't dwell with it. But if you... Yeah. Now, the question around occupational-specific dispensation... It's a matter that was discussed within the Public Service Bargaining Council that it should be there as part of the retention strategy, as part of the retention strategy of government. Now, the funding that we had over the 2009 MTF obviously did not specifically cater for the occupational specific dispensation. It catered for the normal employment staff without having the super skill category and super treatment to those categories. That's why one will say it would have been very difficult when we compiled even the budget on 1st of April or just before then for us to anticipate that it will require, let's say, 30 million or 50 million as the case may be because we don't know what levels, what rates we should be budgeted for. We have an idea of the numbers of officials that we are dealing with, scientists, engineers, and all that. But the specific in terms of the numbers, we attach those positions. Numbers in terms of the rands and cents, we didn't have them. What did we do? We have made a provision in our budget somewhere as we talk about any salary increases, any bonuses and all that. We are estimating that for this year alone, we'll require about 24 million. We'll require. That estimate, we have made it. But we have made it very crudely that on some other assumption, which I don't want to give it here right now. No, it's not some sucking. We assumed that if this person has to be needed to be retained, what should the salary should be paid above another person on that salary level? Should it be 10% or 15%? And the argument was that if these people lead by at least 10% above the others, then we would be at least be attracting and retaining them. I think that's the assumption. It's not the firm such figure, depending on whether this person is degreed or not degreed and all that. So we came up with an estimate of about 24 million, and that's where we are working from. If you have to transfer the money from goods and services, for example, we'll be working on that figure of 24, 25 million. So it's not that we have completely ignored it, because we know it's a reality. We have those type of personnel that we need to retain, and they are there to stay if we have to deliver on our mandate. So the question of also, what skill do you have in the department? You're saying we have scientists, hydrologists, we have civil engineers, mechanical engineers, those are the skills that we want to ensure that we retain them within our environment. The projects that I talked about, Mokolo, Moi Mugeni, and all those, I think, Mr. Chair, I'm sure we are all pressed for time, but if you allow me, I think it will benefit the members if I step aside and try to explain it clearly. You'll hear from time to time TCT. Unfortunately, TCT maybe doesn't appear before you, but it appears before the portfolio committee. That's why I think that I would like to step aside and just take 5 minutes just on that question. TCT is a special vehicle established by government to do two things. TCTA, the full name is Trans-Caledonian Tunnel Authority. That's the full name. Trans-Caledonian Tunnel Authority. You know, tunnel and all that. Right. Now, when it was established 20 years back, one of its first projects was the Lesotho Highlands Project. And that's the time when the decision was made that the Lesotho Highlands Project would command the rich Gauteng with water needed to be implemented. Now, the question was whether this tunnel should be funded, the South African component, should be funded by the fiscals, or should be funded outside the fiscal, meaning as the budget. You don't see the figures on your E&D document. A decision, therefore, which I'm sure my colleague here, Trevor, who has been longer with the department, can speak about the history better than I can do, but the little that I picked up is that the decision was then taken that it should be funded off the budget, meaning that the fiscal does not pay for that. Then the question is, how do you pay for the infrastructure? There is what you call off-takers. Before such an infrastructure project is undertaken, you engage with what you call commercial water users who benefit directly. What is the benefit of that project to their business? Like Eskom on the Val River, obviously, you'll have your Sasso, you'll have your Petro SA, and others that benefit specifically for that project. So they will decide, knowing very well that the project costs, let's say, for the sake of argument, $3 billion. They will decide, knowing very well that this loan is being borrowed by the TCTA to fund this project that will benefit their business directly. Although the social component is there, socially meaning the potable water element will always be there. Now, when that is done, by the way, effectively, in some sense of which, of course, people cross purpose and all that, especially the citizens in South Africa, when they say that the rest of them even feel that TCTI doesn't serve any purpose, but there's a role it plays. If TCTI was informed, what will ever happen is that National Treasury would have used the fiscal's money, allocated in the budget as part of this $7.7 billion we have now before us, and earmarked it, since you don't want to hear about it, but ring-fence it, and say this $3 billion is for the Lesotho Highlands Project. But remember, you're using taxpayers' money, collected countrywide, but that project benefits the Gautengers. You will find that the guys who are outside, the citizens who are outside Gauteng will say, but why would you use our taxpayers' money? You would rather put for us a road, or you would rather do this for us, give us equitable share for basic services in the Municipality Act. So there will be no particular debate. So, the Ministry of Finance, therefore, if they don't have that money in the National Revenue Fund, then what's the option available to them? They are empowered under the PFMA to borrow and under the Constitution. As a department, we don't borrow. But the National Treasury can borrow on our behalf if they don't have the $3 billion. I'm using $3 billion as an example. $3 billion for that project, they will then borrow and give it to us. If that funding is made available, the challenge is only the department would have been provide an execution plan and execute the project. That would have been one model that would have been used. Now, whether the department will have had capacity or not, it will still be required then to source capacity in order to ensure the $3 billion raised by National Treasury is spent. But the other way around is to say, we don't want to put pressure on the National Revenue Fund. If there are commercial off-takers, water users, who can pay off for this project, let us go for this particular source of financing. We raise that financing and we ask them to pay for it. Now, when they pay for it, the $3 billion that has come from the National Revenue Fund is therefore available for other projects which cannot be funded by the private sector side of things within the country. So effectively, TCTA has been delegated to major functions. Fundraising for mainly bulk water infrastructure, one. Two, project implementation of those projects that are funded from the outside fiscals. Now, when we talk about Mokolo River, Umgeni and all that, it's not because we didn't know how to cost it. We didn't know how to motivate it and all that. It is because of those policy choices at the national treasury level where this vehicle is available to raise money that can then be repaid through the water use charges that are levied on the, what are they called, commercial water users. Briefly, that's what I can say about that, but it's a conversation we can have. But yeah, that conversation is in the public domain. We are in the process, and you may be called upon to make your contribution. We are busy reviewing our pricing strategy because the water users, whatever water users are charged on this project that I'm talking about, when we have raised the loan, is money that is charged under the pricing strategy formulated under the National Water Act. So, and it's a consultative process, not something that we impose on the... So that pricing strategy is currently being revamped. It's being revised because we have identified certain limitations with that particular pricing strategy. So it's a matter of, now, when we speak about a pricing strategy, we cannot see it in isolation to the maintenance, the refurbishment that I've alluded to, which I've said that it may be a question of time. If we don't act right now, there will be a problem. And indeed, from the fact that we are reviewing the pricing strategy and discussing this issue with the National Treasury, it's obviously something is being done about it. We are not happy with the situation, and something must be done using the appropriate policy vehicles. Reasons for understanding and especially the invoices. When it comes to invoices, generally, there are certain invoices that require what you call certified work. We don't, although the expenses have been incurred by the service provider, will not hurry up to pay until the architect, the civil engineers go on the site and inspect the quality of work before we pay the invoice presented to us. We don't just pay because an invoice has been presented. If we didn't do that, we would run up into the problem of just paying for the sake of paying without necessarily having checked the quality on the ground. And that's one aspect of delay. The other one, obviously, is suppliers, who especially where we have outsourced our travel, our car hire. That particular supplier, we have had a problem with that supplier. And it's a transversal contract. It's not our contract. It's a transversal contract. The supplier did and displayed the volume of work that he has been given, and for the last 2 years he has battled. I think that's where we have been hard hit. As we speak here, for example, that supplier, he has not given us the invoice for the last 2 months. He keeps on telling us, I'm in the process of preparing the invoices. So he keeps on, he has even challenges, but those are challenges that we are ready to face them, and we have given, put him on conditions that he needs to put his house in order by the end of this particular year in order to act on those invoices. So there are a number of reasons why invoices will delay, obviously, is not a deliberate move, but then that doesn't mean the resources have not been rendered. It's on that particular basis that when we know services have been rendered, a month later, like that, by the end of the first March, if services had been rendered in March and we didn't have an invoice, but we know services have been rendered, we wait until end of April, and then we'll be able to have the invoice to tell National Treasury, sorry, although we have given you back the 5 million, part of that 5 million, we want it back. We have these invoices here. That's where the rollover helps us in the process. Because the timing of the payment of the money and the receipt of the invoices are miles apart and actually with the end of the financial year. So rollover, by the way, will be, I would say actually it's a permanent feature of our budgeting process, management process. We can't do without it. The reason being that the work done in the room says that comes at 1st of March, if you have not dispersed the 5 million chair, give it back to us. Let us discuss those things before end of April, whether you need part of the 5 million. So the 5 million was in the system, yes. But it hasn't been done. The answer is yes, we were busy certifying that work to be done in order to present the invoice. Have we presented the invoice to National Treasury to allow the rollover? The answer is yes, that's why we have the 237. So it was a process to manage those invoices and the 505 million. Now the 2 point something million for forestry is money from the original budget of 7.8 billion. It was inflation adjustment, general salary increase, which was allocated also within the same budget. If they had not moved in, then they would still have been entitled to that 2 million because the staff was already there. So it's part of the original 7.8 billion, not the revised adjusted budget estimates. So they are still entitled to it, whichever case, they would still have it. The general question that came from the honourable member regarding the operation, I think Trevor will deal with it, about water. The refurbishment has been referred to. The refurbishment amount, and especially tied to the issue of the water crisis, the scaled-down amount obviously is not the ideal amount. By the way, we have estimated the backlog is worth 10 to 13 billion. It's an exercise we have done. We have paid service providers for over 2 years, so we know it. But there's also a question of ability to spend. Assuming that we were given 10 billion today, would we spend it? The others, no. We don't have the ability to spend 10 billion. It must be spread over the years. That's why we must begin from somewhere, let's say half a billion, and grow and keep on going forward. Now, the restructuring, the refinancing situation generally is an approach that National Treasury will obviously, even U.S. parliamentarian, you should be happy with. At least, if we say a priority is here, let's say a priority is to build this down. You don't want to be told that money, sorry, we decided to use it elsewhere. It's better to know that priority indeed is being attended to and the budget is there. I think that's the whole purpose of having a ring-fenced budget. If we say we want to create 500 million jobs, and we want a budget of, let's say, 1 billion to create 500 million jobs, you may want, as an oversight body, to keep on knowing now, where is the 1 billion going to? It's a way just of ensure that somebody doesn't play around with those figures. If money is meant for, let's say, rental premises, you don't want to be told we have been kicked out of the premises. So the money, you should be sure that the money has indeed got the municipalities for their services and for the rental premises. So the prioritization we are able to do, but for purposes of directing focus, it's better to ring fence some of these things just so that we manage them in a more organized manner and assign an official specifically to manage such a ring fenced budget instead of shifting it or moving it around and leaving it in the general fund. The budget we have referred to share in the E&D document, the document that is before you, remember it's 2009. So there are those three. After Forest has moved out, you will remain with those three. What I've alluded to as five programs is for next year. This year, your focus would be on the three that are left. And when we come to you, actually from now on, when we come to you, we are not going to mention anything about forestry at all. We will mention about administration, water resource management, and the water services programs. We will not mention anything about. But when the new year budget will be compiled, we'll talk about the five. When the new, from 1st of April, we'll talk about the five. Now, I think there are another question, Chair, I've alluded to it. Additional request, we are waiting for the response. We have not done any. The other question of the maintenance budget, I've also alluded to in passing when I talked about the water crisis. We are saying that it's not necessarily enough, but also the ability to spend that money must also be matched with whatever is allocated to us. I think that's the principle we need to be aware of. Now, the slide I refer to, slide number 21, and I think you are referring to this figure of 272 million. That amount, when we call payments for capital assets, we want to see it from now. We have been having this experience of qualified audit, and we realized the problem was there. The problem was there because out of that 1 billion, in the original budget, before the adjusted budget, was amount meant for another sphere of government, and it's for regional bulk infrastructure. So it's capital still, so it's still a project. So those are the funds we are saying, sorry, we need to account for them as capital transfers, as part of the 3.3 billion that is shown below the goods and services. So that's what you are just saying, that whatever is left, the 432 now, the 432 million left on that slide as adjusted budget estimate, those are the amounts then when we come to you and tell you the amount you spend are assets that we use in our day-to-day operations, not for the benefit of another sphere of government as we had been told to capture that budget initially when we started the financial year. So that is kind of just to ensure that the reporting is clear. Because if we leave that 672 as part of the 1 billion, it will appear by the end of the year that the department has developed an asset base was 1.1 billion. But which is not true, because this asset base is with another sphere of government, and it's not for the direct benefit of the of us. Now, for the administration, obviously, where the budget will grow, there are a number of things that are included in the administration. This is where the minister is, the deputy minister. That's where the CFO is paid, and the team of 380 people. That's where the chief operating officer is paid, and that's where information technology, with a budget of not less than 250 million, they are paid. So you would expect that so long as those support functions are still there, you would expect it to move around 800 to 900, but we are targeting it for purposes of trying to see what savings can be created there, because IT solutions should enable us to improve our systems, and therefore the increase in the budget should not arise. I've spoken, but I think I may want to request you, the intelligence chair, that there are certain questions I didn't answer, and my colleague can respond to them.
I think that he's welcome to, he's here to assist you. He's welcome to do that. Whilst with the question of administration, maybe you still have to say more. I mean, for me, I don't know, colleagues, maybe they understand it, but I'm not sure from my side.
Chair, I'll run through the questions as they were left out by the CFO, which he thought were more difficult. I think he's just trying to share the load because he handled some of the difficult ones anyway. The first one by Honourable Member Gelderbrum with regard to research program. The research program sits with the Water Research Commission. It's one of the entities which report to Minister. Established in terms of the Act, and the way the Water Research Commission is funded is that there's a levy that's applied to every kilolitre of water that's sold.
Now there's a new member of the media. That's right, opposite to me.
I just wanted to feel the speaker chair. Okay. I hear everything.
On chair. Thanks. So the Water Research Commission is funded through a levy which is raised on water that's sold. That funding comes back to the department, and then the department makes a transfer to the Water Research Commission. So that's how our research activities are funded. With regard to floods, what is the department going to do? It's very difficult for us to budget for extreme events, but you know, if the floods, and we expect as we see the floods happening that it could be climate change related, and obviously in terms of our climate change mitigation program, we're looking at aspects of how we mitigate the impacts of climate change in those areas where you might have higher rainfall or those areas where you might have lower rainfall due to floods. But dealing with extreme events like that, the way it's been dealt with by government in the past is if you have an extreme event, it's looked at, declared as a disaster, and then special funds are normally then put into it. So we wouldn't budget for an extreme event like a drought, which we might anticipate, or a flood. But we would certainly budget for the infrastructure to be able to put early warning systems in, to be able to do warnings for floods if there's a flood happening, to be able to, if there's need for evacuation of communities and what have you. So that forms part of the backbone infrastructure that we would put in. And just by way of example, on the Vaal River, we've got a very sophisticated flood management system in place there in terms of managing the floods as they would come down the Vaal River and how we would operate the dams. On the Orange River as well, I just used the Vaal as an example. So if we, in an extreme wet period, we would know how and when to release water from the dam so that you don't endanger any of the communities. Coastal rivers, a little more difficult because on the coastal areas you're more prone to quite short duration extreme storm conditions which can be quite localized and really knock out infrastructure, then you've got to deal with that on that basis. So it is quite difficult and interesting to deal with, nevertheless. The question from Honourable Member Ngabo in terms of the expanded public works program, Honourable Member, as at the 20th of August, and that's the latest figure I could just pull up on my system here, through the Working for Water and Working on Fire programs, we created 21,240 jobs. And the norm that we're working on in our program is that each one of those jobs equates to 100 person days of work in a year. So each job is related to 100 person days. So if you want to equate that to, that would be 2.1 million, is that right? Yes, 2.1 million person days we'd have created. But that's up until August. Chair, we can give you the latest figures. I can get those from our program and provide you with the end of October figures. Babalwa, if you could just note that. Honourable Member Ramatlakala, he asked about the consequences and why projects are scaled down. What are we actually doing? I think if you, the CFO partly answered what we're trying to do in terms of averting any crises, and that's why through our asset management we've put in as a request a pretty substantial budget to deal with the asset management and protection and the betterment of those works. I think in the first year, if my memory serves me, it was 600 million going up to 3 billion in the outer year, the 2012-13, and that's part of our process of protecting the infrastructure to make sure that we ensure that the infrastructure is able to continue to do what it's doing, what it's intended to do. And CFO, I think in your response you indicated you'd come back and indicate what the extent of the refurbishment should be. But if you didn't say that, we can give that through that exercise of the asset verification. I don't have that figure at my fingertips, but we can also provide, Babalwa, if you could just note the figure that we've estimated coming out of the asset verification, what we need to put in terms of managing the infrastructure. Okay. The ring fence budget. Now, hang on now. There's one that I didn't answer. I seem to have missed it. There was a question with regard to the support we give to municipalities in terms of. Here we are. Sorry, Mr. Mabunda, Honourable Member Mabunda, with regard to helping local government to make choices for water supply, particularly where you've got dams, as I understood it, which might have water, but communities not getting water supply from those dams. There are a number of dams in the country which don't service the communities in the immediate surrounds, and we are busy now at the moment doing an assessment of all those dams to put a program together to make sure that beneficiary communities adjacent to and communities that live along the major pipelines from those dams to the point of supply, that we bring them on board and provide them with water. In the coming financial year, we will start with the project on the Tahung Dam, and we've also made provision, and it depends very much on us getting the additional budget we've requested under the bulk infrastructure. If you look at slide 16, part of that $1.35 billion, yes, if you look at that slide 16, you've got bulk infrastructure. On the outer years, we've requested $1.35, $2 billion, and $2.8 billion. One of the new programs we've introduced there is putting in water supply to communities from those dams, which we call as underutilized dams. But you'll see that happening within Tahung and the Pongolapur dams as being the first ones that we will be dealing with. Chairperson, I think that is the lot. I've answered them. Chair, just one which... No, that you did the... yes, that's all. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much,
CFO, you happy?
Yeah, I think I'm happy. I think just I saw a discomfort on your side and the other members about the administration. Briefly, what this particular, what you call administration program covers is part of it is rentals. A figure you saw, 138 million. Then you have information services, which in that year, I think the budget is close to 79-80 million. In addition to that, included there, are just salaries amounting to about just under 260 million. Those are salaries for what you call administrative support, which includes corporate services, information services, and financial management, including the minister. So in terms of you have every right, Chair, to interrogate it, but that is where, broadly speaking, that's what we mean by administration. It means the minister, of course, the minister's portion is such a minor element. It's corporate services, which has the largest chunk of that money, which is 250 to 270 million. And when you talk about corporate services, you are talking about the recruitment aspect of it. You are talking about the IT services that are provided, security services to the premises, and all that. Those are the things that will then be covered under corporate services. Financial management of that budget, something like in this year, is about 122 million out of the entire 812. So anyway, if you want more information and where we, I think you can make your call, and I think we should be able to respond on where we are spending the figure that is turning towards 1 billion on administration alone. Because it's worth re-examining whether we are doing the business all right or we need to improve, and there's nothing wrong being told we need to improve. I'm sure we can welcome certain innovations.
Thank you very much. I thought her hand was up, but no, it's fine. Honourable members, I think that we have kind of a winding up now. Thank you very much, DDG and the team. I think that with respect to administration, you know, maybe it's better if you say administration and this, so that we see that there's administration and other things. But if you think administration, sometimes we take it too literal. You know, now once the budget is too huge, you see this year before the reconfiguration of the departments, you're having forest at 485, having administration at 795. I mean, administration can be a core function of the department, so we expect that the bulk of the funds would go to your cost drivers, you know, to the core functions. But because there are other things that are hidden there, sometimes maybe when we see the full your new program, it will better look at. But I think that our recommendation is really it should somehow, for someone, if I'm looking at it at a glance without asking you a question, it must give me the impression that this is administration. But because with some people, you know, the departments, we want government, but if you're going to water affairs, you're going to another department, it's not necessarily the same, but you're supposed to be doing the same thing. There are meetings every week, head of departments, your chief financial officers, everybody meet, there are structures. But how you structure your budget somehow makes it difficult for members to follow. For instance, if you're taking your IT, another department would place it elsewhere. But there's a lot of funds, of course, that are involved in that. But we can't recommend anything, but it's just raising that there are such issues. But also, our understanding, or my understanding, let me say, around the issues of contingency. I thought that the minister, when it was Minister Manuel, when he was presenting a budget, I thought that earlier this year, I thought that certain things will be located in the, what you call it, in different departments for the purposes of quick responses. Now you're saying you don't keep any contingency reserve with you. I mean, responding from the question that Honorable Blom raises. But our understanding is that there should be some contingency yes, reserves. I mean, some for the, because we have been raising this question of if you're taking agriculture, for instance, you find that the grazing lands get burned out and the farmers lose the stock and all those kind of things. And it takes years to respond to that. But maybe I should go back to my own, what you call it, I mean, notes to check if what is exactly that was said at the beginning of the year in terms of responding as quickly as possible to this kind of, I mean, disastrous, what you call, situation, which are not necessarily major, what you call, a disaster, because there's a 6 billion that is sitting in the Treasury's office for contingency reserve. But somehow, there is something that is, I'm not understanding, but I'm not going to die for it today. I must go back and check my facts properly. But that was really my understanding. I know we've dealt with this with the minister. Now it's co-opted DPLG, it's cooperative governance, especially with agriculture, especially in the Western Cape, for instance, where people have lost stock in the Eastern Cape, your peaks and what. But I think there was something like how does government respond as quickly as possible to some of these manageable, what you call it, disasters, and you say that you don't keep you don't have any funds in relation to that. It's fine, but with respect to refurbishment, you'll come back to us with responses and jobs, the update on the jobs created. What you have not, maybe you have responded on the question of rollovers. You're saying that we're going to sit with these rollovers. Uncomfortable, so, with them from our side, because to us, we would like to see that Department of Planning Commission, that Planning Commission working, so that if this year you're going to spend a certain amount of money, the budget should be very clear in terms of how much you're going to spend, you know. But planning, I mean planning, this year, well, it's about 2 years now, you are aware of the challenges that are facing you and the mines. But you continue to, what you call, to roll over these funds. So I'm saying for us, it's a bit of a challenge, because we think that we have reached a stage where we should be really be prioritizing. The funds that are not going to be utilized may not just sit there, and whilst there are urgent needs elsewhere, there's not enough, what you call, the budget. I mean, the budget now has been revised. We really think that we really need to, going forward, need to look at these things. Do we need to budget for something that is not clear that those funds will be immediately required. So, but we'd like to thank you for your frankness in the conversation that we had. By the question that we didn't raise, we hope that coming back next time, we will deal with it. The minister I mean, government has established that cluster which is going to deal with savings, not understanding, but savings, real savings, to say, how do you really deal with, ensure that you deal with your excesses or your frills, so that prioritization. And so that we really reprioritize, and I'm sure now it was not for 2009. After this, we are going to have an evening for for MTBPS or adjustment. But clearly, we're reprioritizing. We're really appreciating that. Thank you very much. And enjoy afternoon. Dirichi, you want to comment? No, but we're closed. Yeah. No, thank you very much. Looking forward to meeting you at the third quarter now. Okay. Colleagues, we were expecting, we had invited your budget coalition, is it called, or the People's Budget Coalition, involving COSATU, I think Sangogo and them. Perhaps they have not responded. I mean, we tried to look for them, we can't locate them. It means that they are giving us at least an early afternoon. Well, to us, what is important to us is that we invite them. If they don't take the invite, it's their business. So that they can't come tomorrow and say, we did not invite them. The committee invited them. And they promised they would come. They didn't say they wouldn't come. They promised they would come. Unfortunately, our program is tight. We'll not have another time now to accommodate them, as there's just no time. Maybe during the budget next year, in February next year. On that note, colleagues, I hope that you have signed the register.